Offering the new Mini Cooper Paceman, located on the tollway at Park. Information on the Mini Paceman and other Mini models can be found at miniofplano.com.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Today, we'll learn about a new way to give from your pocket during the holidays, and we'll talk to one artist looking to heal the wounds of Dallas under Jim Crow. But first, millions of people voted across the country in last week's election, but in Dallas, there was one election that drew just a single ballot. If you've ever thought one vote doesn't count, consider this story by KERA's Shelley Koffler.
Let's call it the $97 million vote. One person who got to decide whether a specially created district can sell $97 million in bonds and levy property taxes for a big project. The 400-acre North Oak Cliff Municipal Management District includes the massive canyon project being built by Stratford Land in West Dallas. And the one person eligible to vote for the financing? Well, he's the 24-year-old son of a vice president at Stratford. Stratford officials weren't available to talk with us, but Tim Green, an attorney for the financing district, says this is standard operating procedure.
The use of these special districts has been a common tool throughout the state of Texas for the last 50, 60 years. There are thousands and thousands of these districts that have been created to finance billions and billions of dollars of public infrastructure.
So here's how it works. Stratford Land went to the city of Dallas with a plan for turning the vacant land at Interstate 30 and Westmoreland into a mixed-use development. $700 million worth of hotel space, residences, offices, and stores. But the area also needed millions of dollars of infrastructure, roads, water lines, and sewage. The city's economic development director, Carl Zavitkowski, says the city just couldn't afford to pay for that.
We just don't have enough money or wouldn't have enough bonding capacity to go in and do all this and do all the other things that we need to do to make our city strong.
So the city and local lawmakers got the legislature to create the North Oak Cliff Municipal Management District with the authority to ask voters in the district for permission to raise money that would repay Stratford for building the infrastructure. But what do you do if there aren't many, if any, potential voters in the district? Attorney Tom Green says that's the situation here.
You're using these vehicles to develop vacant property, so there are not going to be any people living in them.
Stratford Land does, however, own the one 49-year-old brick house that sits in the district, and that's the address Austin Lee Vest used when he registered to vote 3 months ago. So I'm at the address listed for Austin Lee Vest. Knocking on the door. Hear a couple dogs inside, and I see four vehicles outside, but no Mr. Vest. So we ask attorney Tim Green, does he really live there?
Yes.
Is there anything unusual in the one voter being the son of a vice president at Stratford Land?
No. We've created dozens upon dozens of districts, and they've had people who are either friends of the developer out there, family members, the developer itself.
The county election supervisor says it all appears to be legal. City officials will have a final say before the special district can even sell the bonds, and the economic development director says Dallas will have a new economic center in a once-neglected part of town. Still, SMU political science professor Cal Gilson says this special election is bound to look suspicious.
It's very unusual to have an election in which there's a single voter.
Gilson says the city should have gone beyond what's required and publicized this financing process.
There should have been an additional public political process, an announcement, an explanation, a response to questions.
Because, he says, in an age where there's often little trust in government, being upfront and transparent is important. Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
Artist Lauren Woods saw traces of a whites-only sign from the Jim Crow era above a drinking fountain still in use at the Dallas County Records Building. In our Friday conversation, Woods talked to KERA's Ann Bothwell about reclaiming the space with an installation of footage from the civil rights era.
Lauren Woods, Welcome to the KERA Newsroom. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you for having me.
The piece is in the County Records Building.
Yes.
That is a place I associate more with standing in line than looking at art.
I mean, that's why I find it so interesting, because it's a place that you wouldn't expect to have this experience, yet there's so many people from diverse walks of life that enter into that building, and they pass each other without saying anything, without talking. And so what I found interesting was when I would do my site visits to sort of gauge how many people use the fountain in the beginning and just kind of figure out the culture of that space, people would go to the fountain and drink, but they didn't look up to actually see the artifact. But all I had to do was kind of stand close to the fountain and look. And then people would just slowly start stopping and looking with me. And then all of a sudden you're having, you know, this interesting conversation. And maybe it's five people around the drinking fountain talking about civil rights or their relationship to it.
Would that happen in a museum, do you think?
I don't think it would happen in the museum in the same way. People are used to viewing art in a certain way. And I don't know if you have the diversity entering into a museum the way you have in that space. You have people getting married and getting their license. You have people coming in for the motor registration, paying taxes. It really does create this moment where diverse people can talk to each other.
You've seen other whites-only signs,
artifacts
around the building.
Yes. Yeah, so the official ones are on the first floor, which is where I'm doing the fountain, and then the second floor where the records are, there's another one. So those are the two official ones, but they're just kind of all over the building, like ghost haunting. It's sort of like a scar on the body. It can fade and get smaller, but it's still there. It's part of our body. It's part of our history.
We are coming up on the 50th anniversary of the death of John F. Kennedy. But we're also entering a period of time where we'll be commemorating 50 years of the civil rights movement. How does that play into your piece?
I think it's interesting that the fountain is unveiling so close to the honoring of JFK and the 50th anniversary, because Dallas's history with its civil rights isn't necessarily talked about. It's not as potent as, say, in Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi. I think that it unveiling so close to JFK does bring the conversation of civil rights in Dallas particularly into play in a way that I haven't seen quite yet happening.
You mentioned all of the diverse folks who walk through the records building. What is it that you're hoping they'll take away from this piece?
The way the civil rights movement has been traditionally imaged is presenting the Black body in a very violent context. And those images are really compelling, and they evoke a certain emotion. They make you angry. But I wanted to do something that didn't violate the body and present the violence as much as it presented the spirit that it took to not only endure, but to triumph.
Lauren Woods, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
The Dallas Drinking Fountain Project opens today at the County Records Building. To see images, go to artandseek.org. That's the soundtrack of the holiday season. Salvation Army bells and kettles are a familiar sight, too. This year, as Courtney Collins explains, there's a twist.
Want to perfect your brassy trills before you hit the kettle circuit? Good news, there's an app for that. The app's called the Salvation Army Bell Ringer. Download it and just ring the virtual bell. Translation, shake your iPhone. And it sounds just like the real thing. You can even change your tone to any note on the scale. C, E, G, you name it. And for philanthropic families who want to coordinate their kettle pitch, just strike a chord. Courtney Collins for KERA News.
The free Bell Ringer app lets you make donations too. The kettles and real bells will start showing up en masse around Thanksgiving. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. By the way, clear skies today with a high near 63. Tonight it should be partly cloudy with a low near 50. It's currently 57 degrees in Dallas, 53 in Fort Worth, 52 in Tyler, and 47 in Wichita Falls. Morning Edition continues on KERA 90.1.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Bryant University for 150 years preparing students with knowledge, skills, and qualities of character for success in a changing world. Bryant.edu. From Zurich Insurance, providing risk management and insurance solutions to help businesses meet their ever-changing needs. Learn more at ZurichNA.com. And from United Healthcare, with information on doctors, treatment options, and cost estimates for patients to make educated health decisions, UHC.com. This is NPR.
In the history of a people, there are moments and lives deserving of artistic illumination. On November 23rd, the Nasher Sculpture Center will honor President John F. Kennedy with a soundings concert that will present a new work by composer Stephen Mackey. One Red Rose is written in commemoration of this anniversary and is commissioned by the Nasher with Yellow Barn and Carnegie Hall. More information at NasherSculptureCenter.org or 214-242-5100.